Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
Welcome back to the One Guy with a Mic Dingers and Dunks podcast. As you all know, we're doing the MLB preview. If you haven't heard the previous five episodes, make sure to tune into those as we break down all of the other divisions. And we finally get to the last one, the NL West. And with me today, I brought back with me Mike and Jason to join us with this. So, before we get to those guys, as always, this episode is in partnership with ShankItGolf.com, where you can get your golf club golf apparel with your bags or your polos or your putters or whatever else you need at ShankItGolf.com using the code ONEGUY at checkout. All right, so let me go ahead and bring in Mike and Jason. We got one more episode after this. We're going to do a playoff episode. Probably be out next week after this one because I'm going to need a, and then I'm going to need a little bit of recover because this has been fast and furious, boys. How are you guys doing today?
I'm doing Jason? Well.
I'm doing beautiful, baby.
Neither. I was hoping one time in the podcast I'd get all the guests to speak at the same time, be like, "We're doing good," but nope, did
fabulous.
Six of them.
We're fabulous.
I did six of them, and four of them with multiple people. Oh my gosh. AL Central, I was like, or the NL Central was definitely herding cats. That's for sure.
Wow, you just recorded that.
I know, right? I did. Yeah, I'm not afraid to admit that. After doing this, after this being my sixth episode, that one was definitely the hardest one.
Okay, I have a quick question. That since you're okay to put this stuff out there.
Yeah.
Who's been the best group?
I'm with them. That's why you guys are back. I mean, the Drobos are fun. Like, don't get wrong. That was a fun episode. It was having Brian on and Andy. Actually, I would have to say for group-wise, definitely used two. And then the Drobos. And then it was the NL Central was just chaotic. And even for my ADD brain, that was just a bit. I was overwhelmed. Which was fine.
I can imagine.
It made for a good episode. However, the episode that I recorded with Andy, by far probably the best one out of all of them. Sorry, boys, but yes, he was like you guys. Here's the thing: you guys bring a lot of info to the conversation because I love how deep and in depth you guys go on it. But like Andy and I were talking about movies and we're talking about other crap. Like we got off topic.
you tell me you want to do something on. Well, first the NL Central and now, or the NL East and now the NL West. So yeah. We come prepared for what you ask for. If you want a pop culture podcast, why don't you ask?
We have one of those.
Oh, it's called, I forgot. It's called, my bad.
It's called oh, that's right. It's called Veg Out with the 80s Boys.
Yeah. My bad.
Silly boy.
Oh, my gosh. So, all right. Well, I'm here to get into it. And you know what? And also going back to that NL Central comment, like I would say that to the boys as well to them without it being recorded. I'm like, boys, it was like herding cats with you guys. You guys need to get better.
Meh.
And they'd all probably agree with me.
Is that a sheep? So,
Matt. Yeah. All right.
Not saying a word. I'm moving on. I'm ready to go. I'm here for business, boys.
Oh my gosh. This is
let's definitely... go. We're gonna bring it today, boys.
All right, let's bring it. We all bucked up and everything. All right. So hey, I'm gonna start with the last place team that I have for last place. Baseballprospectus.com has them for last place. By the way, we're not sponsored by them or affiliated with them yet. However, we're still gonna try to do that. So the Colorado Rockies.
Huh. Yeah.
Is that 100%?
100%.
100%.
Who's the best player? Let's have a little. Mike, who's the best player on the Colorado Rockies?
Chuck Nasty.
All right. Jason, who's the best player on the Colorado Rockies?
The bench coach.
Neither one of you think Chris Bryant's the best player on the Colorado Rockies?
I believe I said Chuck Nasty, sir.
Chris Bryant is the grossly overpaid player on the Colorado Rockies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nolan Jones is up there too as one of their better players as well.
The water boy, the ball boy gets more action than Chris Bryant.
I mean, how would you like to be a Rockies fan and be like, and now granted, I'm a Chris Bryant fan, brought a World Series to the Cubs. Okay. But how would you like to be the Rockies that they wouldn't pay Nolan Arenado and traded him off to the Cardinals, but they paid Chris Bryant?
I mean, if there's any question that ownership is trying to stay under that luxury tax, it's been answered.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And I mean, you look at the pitching staff, like, I understand it's Colorado and you can't really get a pitching staff, but good Lord.
No, listen. When your two biggest offseason acquisitions are Cal Quantrill and Jake Cave, you've got issues a lot deeper than winning, okay? Because this team is not going to win anything at all. It's bad.
So yeah,
it's a bad team.
Yeah, speaking of that, of the pitching staff, this is the first team I have actually seen on Baseball Perspectives warp that they're a negative. Their pitching staff is a minus 0.1 for wins above replacement projections.
Yeah, that's not shocking.
The A's didn't have that bad.
What is it? Freeland, Quantrill, Gomber, yeah. Feltner, and Hudson, maybe?
Yeah, so the Baseball Prospectus has them going Freeland, Gomber, Quantrill, Hudson, Lambert.
Okay.
And they also have Feltner as in there as well. That's all who right. They have there pretty much getting most of starts. And then they got Justin Lawrence as the closer, Tyler Kinley as a setup man, and Daniel
Bard. Do they
Bard
not have Bard anymore?
Yeah, they got him as a setup man.
They have Bard setting up, and who is closing?
Justin Lawrence.
Oh, that, God bless.
Oh, he pitched funny. Let's make him close. Oh, they shitty again.
Oh, no, shitty again. Oh,
oh, that's
every Rockies
shitty.
Fan right now.
Oh, yeah. Like, if you're a Rockies fan, I'm sorry, but like, I don't know. I'm just going to toss this out there. If you win 65 games, I think that's impressive.
Yeah.
Bro, no. If they win 55 games this year, it's impressive because I've got them going 54-108.
Oh, I mean, we're getting our predictions out of
this
thing.
Right. Listen, they are the modern day major league. The they are. This is a movie. The ownership wants fewest fans possible. There's going to be a corn dog eater out in center field going, hit me the ball, please.
I think I'm confused with the A's.
Yeah, yeah.
The A's are above and beyond better than these guys right now.
Ooh, I don't know if I agree with that.
Oh,
I don't know if I agree with that.
I mean, I spent 20 minutes this morning on the AOS podcast about the A's, a team that went 150 games last year. Meanwhile, Colorado won 59.
Yeah, exactly. Like they. I wouldn't say anybody's head or shoulders above the other on this conversation. Like,
yeah, no, I would agree with that. Yeah.
Can we just agree that they're the worst two teams in baseball?
100%.
1,000%. They are the worst two teams in baseball.
But the Rockies have a prettier stadium.
You know what?
Hey, listen, they got Chuck. Nice. At least they got Chuck Nasty. I couldn't tell you who's on the A's. Like you could, you know who? Mark McGwire. Mark McGwire was an A. There you go. That's what I got. You know what? Barry Zito was an A in this century.
I know Mark McGwire. I know Jose Canseco.
Hey, Eck was there too, baby.
Oh, yeah.
He was.
You know. Hey,
Terry Steinbach, son.
I just said Terry Steinbach.
I love him.
Hey, to be fair, the A's have actually won more than 80 games a lot sooner than what the Colorado Rockies have lately. So.
Yeah, I mean.
Because in 2021 they were the A's were 86 an 86 win team.
Yeah,
and then the bottom fell out.
And then they traded Olsen to the Braves, and Sean Murphy to Braves and
Chapman to the
Chapman
Blue Jays.
to the Blue Jays, right? He was a Blue Jay last year.
Yeah, Chapman went to the Blue Jays.
Yeah. So, like, you know, they it's the same thing. Rockies, A's, it's not good.
Right. So, and here's the Rockies projected lineup. Elias Diaz behind the plate. Chris Bryant at first. They got Brendan Rodgers at second. Ryan McMahon at third.
I like McMahon if he was not a Rocky. Like, I think he has potential if he was in a place that actually cultivated talent.
Yeah.
I think he could progress to be a pretty decent player. I'm not saying, like, a bust out, but, I mean, he'd slowly improve.
Right. Then they got Ezekiel Tovar out at shortstop. They got Nolan Jones in left. They got Brendan Doyle in center. And in right field, they're going to throw out Hunter Goodman, Zach Veen, and Charlie Blackman, who's also going to be their DH. How old is Captain Caveman?
Oh, 35, God.
35, 36.
Yeah, is he now? 37, boys. 37 years old.
37 still raking.
He'll be their DH.
Yeah. He'd still probably be the best right fielder of the group, too.
Yeah.
Well, you got Nolan Jones, though.
He plays left, though.
I thought Chris Bryant played left.
No, Chris Bryant plays first.
He can't run.
Bryant's being moved to first.
Is he really?
Yeah.
That's a shame.
All-time first baseman now.
I mean, talk about a fall from grace.
Well, I mean, that's what happens when you're a Cub.
That's what happens when you're a Cub. No, it's what happens when you have Scott Boras as your agent. Okay?
I'm not going to debate that, actually. I'm not going to debate that one.
He had a chance to sign a long-term deal with the Cubs, and him and Boras were all mad because the Cubs put him down in the minor leagues to get the extra year out of him, and then they weren't going to deal with him anymore after that. And then he kept winning his arbitration cases because, you know, he was in the rookie of the year, NL MVP, you know, all that stuff in the first 2 years. So then he was making gobs of money off arbitration. So then the Cubs said, hey, we'll give you this amount of money. And he goes, yeah, we'll try somewhere else. And then got the same exact contract the Cubs were going to give him in Colorado.
He chased the money.
And he didn't get it.
Right. He didn't get it.
He did not.
So I like Chris Bryant a lot as a player. So he's still one of my guys.
At the end of the day, I think he really wanted to play with Harper. He wanted to play with his boy Bryce, and it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
Again, I want to see a Phillies roster of Harper, Bryant, and Trout.
I can't say to you on your own podcast what I think of that thought.
Yeah.
I mean, you can. That's fine.
No, I'm respectful.
If it did, it would be difficult to put the Braves in front of them.
I don't know. If Trout, Bryant doesn't stay healthy. Trout sure as hell isn't staying healthy. And they wouldn't have a couple of the other pieces they had to plug in there.
Yeah.
Because you'd have to pay that money that, you know.
I see it.
It's an interesting thought, but I could poke holes in it.
Yeah, I could see that. So Jason's got to win in 54 games.
Yeah, 54-108. Their offseason grade is an F-, if that's possible.
I don't know.
I mean,
there's nothing there, guys.
No. When Cal Quantrill's your guy, it's time to just walk away.
I'm not disagreeing with you. Like F minus, no. if you could give him a Z, or give him an incomplete, I guess. Well, I wouldn't want to give him an incomplete because it's just bad. Like they tried to do the assignment and just failed.
My max win total for them is 60. That's my max. He could be right at 54. I'm going to say that up, you know, anywhere from 54 to 60, like they are not a competitive team. And anybody that walks in there is going to slug more home runs than them because they just don't have the pitching staff to get it done.
Nope.
Right. Yeah. The pitching staff is I mean, you're playing Coors. You're already behind the eight ball playing in Coors Field as it is.
And then when Kyle Freeland or, and like Austin Gomber is your one and two, Cal Quantrill in there, it's not a recipe for success. And it's not like, let me tell you something. Dante Bichette ain't walking through that door.
Don't That's all truck. I'm saying. You talk dump truck.
Larry Walker is not walking through that door.
Big dumper.
That big dumper, Dante Bichette's not walking through the door?
He's not walking through the door, boys. Vinny Castilla, not walking through that door. Mike Hampton is not walking through that door.
Oh, dang.
Andres Galarraga is not walking through the door.
The big cat himself, right.
We got Rick Pitino over here.
Right?
Andres Galarraga could actually walk on right now and be their DH.
Probably.
Absolutely. Helton could.
Yeah, Helton could.
Todd Helton absolutely could.
Yeah. He could go out there and still hit, like, I guarantee he could still hit 280.
Oh, yeah. 280 with 25 bombs easily.
Yeah, yeah, there. Yeah, absolutely.
Uh huh. Yeah.
I would actually go on a limb and say if they had like a fan day, like, ooh, let's get some people in here. And said, okay, we're going to bring back all these players. They beat them.
Yeah, you put the current squad and on the other side, Mike Hampton's pitching. I don't care if it's soft toss.
He pitches a no hitter.
You put Galarraga at DH because I think Helton probably could field first a little better.
Yeah.
I don't remember who you could put it to there for them. But you got Vinny at third.
And put Tulowitzki at shortstop.
And put Tulo at short. Throw Walker out in right.
Halliday out in left.
Right. Halliday out in left. Or you know what? I know he's a little older, but put Larry in center. Have Dante in right.
Yeah.
And then who the hell cares is at second? Like, you just pick a random guy from like 2003.
Story. You put Story at second.
Oh, there you go.
There you
Story's
go.
Story's still technically playing.
Yeah, Story's still playing though.
Well, that's true.
You wouldn't know that because you couldn't find him in Boston in a lineup. Like, he can't even go to Cheers because they don't know his name. Like,
I mean, yeah, like they actually do need names on their uniforms.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Oh man.
The Rockies. We're done. As far as I'm concerned, we're done. They're terrible.
Yeah. Baseball Prospectus has them winning 57 games.
Ooh, that's close.
I'm with Jason and saying they're going to win about 54. Yeah. So, yeah, that's what I think. All right. Next up is going to be the San Diego Padres, the fathers of the NL West.
You got them going fourth, huh?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I got them going fourth.
See, it's going to be competitive, I think.
You got Darvish, Musgrove, Michael King, huge pickup. Matt Walter and Pedro Avila. After you get the top past the top three.
Didn't Dylan Cease go there?
Yeah, he just got traded there. Yeah. Yeah, you got.
So it's Darvish, Musgrove, Cease, King, and then
whoever
pick your
want.
Poison.
Yeah.
All right.
So
yeah, but look, Darvish is 38 years old. Let's be real.
Yeah. Darvish is one of those guys that keeps hanging around. I mean, because he's a good pitcher. I don't mean like he keeps hanging around like he should retire by now. I'm just saying he's hanging around, but it's like he doesn't have the same stuff that he had across.
Look, the last 4 years, it's the same thing. He comes out of the gates, balls a-blazing.
Yeah.
But, you know, age catches up to you and you're like, well, he sucks. That's the way it's going to be this year.
About the All-Star break, he's breaking down.
You know what, though? If they can limp into contention, and I'm not saying they will. I'm saying if they could.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that if they went out and got Musgrove, if he gets better, because, I mean, he just got lit up in his first game.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so did the Dodgers. So, I mean, he won a shootout.
Yeah.
But if Cease and King and Musgrove can piece together some good start to the season, I could see them actually bumping Darvish down. And getting a piece, like a starter at the deadline, to get them better if they're in contention. I'm not saying they will be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying those three guys, if they play like they're able to play, they could be in contention. I don't think they will be, but it's a possibility. And you don't know if they put Matt Waldron out there. It's a knuckleballer. Who in God's name knows what's that's going to look like?
True. Well, and here's also the deal. Their schedule is very favorable at the beginning of the season. Because their schedule is they just got done splitting a series with the Dodgers, right? Now they have four against the Giants. Then they got St. Louis, the ARP team comes out there. Okay. Then they play the Giants again. And then they're gonna get swept by the Cubs. And then they got the Dodgers. And then Brewers.
That was a gutsy statment. I'm not going to gloss over that. I got to cut you off on
So wait a minute.
I have a question.
So funny about that is when he said it, right?
Casually kept going.
I'm looking at you, though. This is what you did right here. Okay. You're like,
right? Like, I got a question. They're getting swept by the Cubs. Who is not getting swept by the Cubs this year, according to you?
I mean, the Cubs is going to go 162-0. That's all. Okay.
I know you're joking. That's the best part of this, but that right up there is the level of conversation you had, about the Orioles, which I could pick apart right now, but I'm not, but I will if I come back for the playoff episode, just saying. But okay. So you may split with them.
Oh,
because
it's a not like you're getting swept.
Well, I think it's so. This is going to go to the
Justin Steele, NLC, NL Cy Young.
Oh, God, here we go.
With Padres, Giants. It's going to come down to those two as far as 4-3.
Yeah.
Whoever wins that head to head is going to have an advantage going into the second half of the season.
Right.
They play each other a lot before the All-Star break.
Yes. And that's what I'm saying is like their first half schedule isn't, I mean, it's tough, but it's not like Seattle tough. That's for sure.
That's 100% fact.
I mean, I don't know what Seattle did to piss off the MLB schedule makers on that.
Probably they only need to win 56% of their games or 54% or 54%, whatever the hell it is.
That was Jerry DePoto's.
Yeah, I knew it was record. One of those two. All we need is 54% of our games, baby.
Yeah, but the second half, I mean, that's dangerous. Like, I think this is what the Padres fans are going to be. They're going to get through the first half. They're going to be in second. They're going to be in second or third place, or right there at the second spot. And looking at playoffs, and then the second half of the season is going to come, and it's like, oh yeah, we're not doing anything,
right? Because here's the thing, when you play the tougher, like you get the easier part of the schedule, but it's not like you're talking about a Dodgers team or a Braves team or those upper echelon teams where you're like, all right, every series they're going to either compete or win it.
Right.
Like you're confident, unless they're playing like Braves, Dodgers, Braves, Phillies, you know, Yankees. Right. Those are competitive.
Yeah, but like Cubs, you Braves. Yeah, I understand.
You're trying. And it ain't working because you got two Braves guys on here.
I'm aware.
I mean, come on now. but no, for real, like San Diego is going to do well in the beginning of the season. And then when you get to looking at a harder schedule and they start not to compete, like where was this? Well, you didn't look at your own schedule, guys.
Right. Correct. And also Michael King's going to be a starter for the first time in his career, like full time. Yeah. He did really good in the last 2 months with the Yankees, but you're going to try to get a full season out of a guy that hasn't thrown that many pitches in his career.
Yeah. And that could mean his arm is fresh, but it also could mean that he gets very tired come late August.
Yeah,
and if they're going to stay in contention, if they are, that can't happen.
No,
because I know Darvish is going to get tired.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Cease is going to become that guy. I think. Look, if they're going to be there, Cease is going to be the one that has to step up to the plate.
Yes,
yes,
that's the reason why he went out and get him. He's got to be the guy.
Yeah, he's got to become the ace. And in my opinion, Musgrove has to step up too.
Yes.
Like you can't be like 15 and 12 with like a 4.12 ERA or whatever, something like that. Like that, you know, that's just general Joe Musgrove style numbers.
Yeah.
Like you need to be 18 and 10 with like a 3.6.
Right. You need to be like a 3.5. Yeah. 3.5.
Yeah. 3.5, 3.6. You need
to be under 4.
Yeah. You need to elevate to the next step.
Yeah. Because with this lineup, it doesn't really, with the Padres lineup of, they got Camp Suano, who's, I think he's actually going to be still considered a rookie this year.
Yeah.
Behind the plate, you have Cronenworth over at first, Bogaerts at second, Machado's at third, Kim is at short. You got Profer out in left, you got Tatis out in right, you got center fielder Azekar, and then Ornelius is your DH. Well, actually, they don't have a DH listed.
It's going to be Machado to start the year because of his elbow.
Oh, okay, so it'll be Machado to be able, DH.
Yeah.
So then that,
and then
so,
Tyler Wade will probably start a third for them.
Yeah, Tyler Wade will probably start a third then.
Yeah.
So this lineup doesn't scare me though. That's
the, here's the thing. It's a tale. So, it's a tale of two. It's a tale of two halves. Like Bogaerts, Tatis, the Crone Zone can be good.
Yeah.
Like I'm not saying he's great. Machado, by the way, we were having this discussion the other day. Machado may be one of the most underrated players of this current generation. He is so good, but his mouth did a lot of talking and he kind of disappeared. But like he's made great defensive plays. He stepped off at offensive times. Like he's an underrated guy nobody talks about. He just doesn't get talked about. And then you got Kim at short. Those five, that's a start of a pretty good offense.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got like a Jerks and Profar, Campusano, like you said, Tyler Wade starting at third, and then Merrill or Yugi Rosario, Pauly, whoever they get going. That's the other half. And it's like once you get as long as you shut them down the first two, three batters, you're done. Like,
yeah.
Cause you ain't get anything out of like six or nine.
Correct.
But not only that, so I've actually got written on paper in big bold letters, okay? Seven words come to mind seeing this lineup top to bottom. You ready?
Yeah.
Not the fastest, but not the worst. That's where they're at. They're not fast, but they're not the worst.
But if you ain't first, you're last.
Well, I mean, Tatis has speed, but that's about it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Well, and Cronenworth is quick. He's not fast. He's quick.
Quick around the base pads, but yeah, he's not gonna steal bases for you. Like I don't see this offense is a boom or bust offense.
Yes, they're gonna have to hit, and like the thing is, where do they play San Diego? It's a pitcher's park.
Mm-hmm.
Like besides Tatis, besides Machado, like Cronenworth's gonna have to bat 280, 290, or at least get on base 40% of the time, 43%, and Kim's gonna have to repeat what he did last year. So who knows what that looks like. Bogaerts is, I don't know. Like he was good and then he wasn't. Then he was good and then he wasn't.
Right.
Very Jekyll and Hyde. So that offense is just, and again, Machado's coming off elbow surgery.
Yeah.
Machado would have benefited more staying in Baltimore.
They weren't ever going to pay him, though. They weren't paying him at the time. They weren't paying anybody at the time.
I mean, that's because they're still paying Chris Davis.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. Sometimes you make bad investments.
But yeah, Baltimore was going to pay him. But you're right. If he could have got just half the contract that he got with the Padres to stay in Baltimore, he still would have been money ahead by staying in Baltimore, even if they're going to finish in fourth place this year.
Speaking of contracts, just real quick off the subject. Did you guys see the JD Davis contract?
No.
So he's going to get most of his money after the age of 70. Seriously, in 2037 or something, they start paying him January 1st at the age. It's crazy how he did his contract, but That's the way he did it.
You gotta love deferred money, baby.
You do. You get 8% interest on that.
Mm-hmm.
That's Bobby Bonilla.
I was gonna say, ask Shohei Ohtani and his
$2 million a year. Yeah, he's too busy.
It was smart.
He's too busy paying off bookies for his interpreters.
Yeah, that's what he was doing. No, I'm not going down that road.
Nope. Yeah.
I mean,
we'll save that for the playoff broadcast.
We can get spicy. All right. So Baseball Prospectus have these guys going 80 and 82.
They're Jason. Close.
I've got them going 72 and 90.
Love it.
I got them with 77.
Love it. I'm going with that. I'm going to go with 74.
All right.
74 wins. I don't think Dylan Cease makes that big of a difference. I don't think you're going to get it. I think Michael King's going to be good, but he's not going to be, but he's going to get, he needs run support as well because he's not a sub 3 ERA guy. And it's first year starting, so probably have a well over 4 for an ERA. So I think he's just too tough. This offense isn't going to provide enough power to make up for the pitching staff. So 74 wins.
Completely agree.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next up for the Bay Area San Francisco Giants. Soon to be the only team left in the Bay Area. Because apparently San Francisco likes to build ballparks. Oakland doesn't. Well, you're the Niners and you play in Santa Clara and still call yourself San Francisco.
Yeah, I don't know. Why aren't you Santa Clara? Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Because different it doesn't show. Sound right. Santa Clara 49. Let's go play for the Santa Clara 49ers.
Hey.
Well, they're not in San Francisco. So I mean,
they're 40 miles north of it.
Right?
So
it still sounds so bad.
So, all right. All right, Jason, tell me what you think of their pitching staff.
Well, you know, obvious choice for the biggest offseason move is Blake Snell. After that, though, Matt Chapman, Soler, Hicks, Haniger. So it's not necessarily something to be excited about. Pitching staff, you know, I'd say it's a solid C+. You're going to get some innings. I think when you really look at it, it's going to take a lot more than just a pitching staff. They, to me, overspent on Blake Snell a little bit. You look at their lineup. Let's talk about the lineup for a minute. You can argue that the best player in their lineup right now is Patrick Bailey. And when you've got a switch-hitting catcher as your best player who isn't necessarily a top four catcher in the league, you probably should have upgraded your lineup just a little bit. You've got to have your staff to stay healthy. They're on up in age also. You know, Snell, 31 years old. Can he repeat last year? Can he even get close to what he did last year?
He's a two-time Cy Young Award winner.
Yeah, well, you know, hey, Chris Bryant is a Rookie of the Year. So what?
Ouch.
There's a difference between Cy Young winners and Rookies of the Year, though, too.
He was also a 2016 NL
That's right.
NL MVP.
One time.
One time.
Not two.
College Baseball Player of the Year as well.
I think it's going to take a lot for San Francisco, but I do think up and down their lineup is better than the Padres. That's the only reason why I've got this team at number 3. That's the only reason. They're slightly better offensively.
I think they don't have the names that a San Diego has when you right. talk about like a Tatis, a Machado, even a Cronenworth. Lee coming in to play center field and be leadoff. That could be sneaky. You don't know what he's going to bring to the table. My biggest hole for them is at first base. I think they have Wade Jr. playing first. If you know,
yeah, they do.
Yeah. Like, that's their biggest weakness, in my opinion. Like, Soler does bring a we know this from experience. Soler brings power. Like, it's a big ballpark, I get it, and I know he's a right-handed, but Soler brings power. And I think a sneaky guy, if he can get back to anywhere near where he was, I think Conforto can hit for average and some pop.
Yeah.
I always like Conforto, even though he's a Met. Like, he always, again, having an agent that overplayed his hand in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Conforto misses a season. So, I mean, the rust could be all over him. But if he can knock some of the rust off, I think he's a good addition as a left-handed bat there. He's not going to be Barry Bonds, but, I mean, he's got some pop. And, you know, it's only 308 down the line.
Yeah.
Matt Chapman started gangbusters last year in Toronto, then fell off a cliff. Still good defensively. We'll see if his bat returns. If not, whatever. You know, what are you going to do? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Little Yaz, I've been waiting for him to break out. I want him to, and like really break out.
Right. I was going to say, here's the thing with Yaz, Little Yaz, is I think he's at his peak.
So do I.
I don't think
I want him to go a little farther, but I don't think he will.
I don't think he's at his peak. He's an everyday player. That's nothing spectacular.
Yeah. And that kind of sucks.
But if you think about it, Yastrzemski, his grandfather, gets lost in the conversations at times because, again, he was an everyday player that gets lost in conversations because some people don't realize of how well he played.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not comparing Carl.
Yeah,
I'm not
you can't.
But I'm just saying it's the same. It's like the same thing where, yes,
he was playing on MVP levels, though.
Right, he was.
Like, Mike's never done that.
No, he's never going to be an MVP.
Right, he's lucky if he gets all-star levels.
Right, I'm saying, like, his top is an all-star.
Yeah.
That's his top. I think, didn't he make all-star list last year?
Or the year before? I mean, you got to think of who the Giants really had besides Logan Webb.
Yeah, true story.
But Patrick Bailey, I mean, like Jason said, switch hitting catcher, young too. Like he's not beyond his age. I mean, he's only what now, 24. So I mean, he's still up and coming. If he can stay hot offensively, that's nice. And then you have Estrada and Lucchino up the middle. They're contact hitters. They're average hitters. You're not going to get a ton of pop out of them, but if you can get a couple of guys on. Maybe Soler, maybe Conforto.
Right.
You know, I don't hate it. And just remember, like, when you look at the rotation, you have Webb, Snell. They're going with Jordan Hicks this year.
Yeah.
Coming out of a bullpen role for how long?
Yep.
Harrison and Wynn will start the year. But don't forget, you have Alex Cobb and Robbie Ray coming back.
Yep.
So, I mean, if you go Webb, Snell, Robbie Ray, Alex Cobb, and then if you want Hicks, that's a formidable top five.
Yeah.
It's formidable. Then it's going to depend on what the offense brings to the table.
Right. And you're playing in a big ballpark. So yep. The question is, how much offense are these guys going to provide? Again, I said it on the AL West podcast. There is no more kayaks or boats out in the bay. In San Francisco.
No.
Because they don't have dudes that are going to hit home runs, so no one shows up to catch the home run ball anymore. Because Barry Bonds is not out there.
No.
Again, Barry Bonds is not walking through that door. Well, he might be. Jeff Kent's not walking through that door. I absolutely hate Jeff Kent. I don't know why I just said that.
God, that I mean, JT like, that Snow, was, baby.
You said it angrily also. Like, did he do something he was, to you?
Yeah, like, did he personally?
I hate.
Does he owe you money?
You know what? He might as well. Like, he's just arrogant, and they want to say.
I almost feel bad for Jeff Kent. I don't even know him.
Jeff?
No, he ain't getting that out of me.
I absolutely just. He just come. I don't know. He was just never a guy I was like, oh, yeah, he's. He's a
smug.
Guy.
He's a smug dude.
And he had no reason to be smug because he wasn't that great.
Didn't he win an MVP though?
He had three good years.
Okay, so what you're saying is he was on Chris Bryant's level.
Well, yeah, and they're trying to say he's better than Ryan Sandberg. Let's get to the real beef here.
Oh, this is going to be a Sandberg thing. God.
He breaks Sandberg's home run record, and they think he's the god of second baseman. So, yeah. But, no, I really just hate Jeff Kent, too. He was a former – I think he's pretty sure he's a former Astro at one point. I just hate anybody that's a former Astro. Craig Biggio, Jeff Bagwell.
So you hate Nolan Ryan?
Yes.
Do you really?
Yeah, I don't. Wow, I don't mind Nolan Ryan. He's not on the hate level of Jeff Kent.
God, Mike Scott, for God's sakes.
Yeah, like come on, guys. I just hate the Astros. Oh my God, I just like.
Why? It's because they dominated the Central there for a while.
So let's get serious for a minute. What's ailing you?
What is all this hate of you?
What is driving all this anger in you?
Lance Berkman and Ken Caminiti
I think he was there, but I think of him
and Bagwell and Biggio just haunt my dreams at night because they haunt my dreams at night.
I thought said hump. They hump my dreams at night.
No, they haunt my dreams at night because they just beat the Cubs up so much in the 90s. They just
While Bagwell's sitting on the plate looking to take a dump. Is that what you
exactly.
Mean?
Yeah.
Steroided up.
Right.
Oh, wait, what?
He's in the Hall of Fame though. We got because Craig got there.
Oh, you don't want to get Chad sued. Don't say that.
Oh gosh.
Listen, steroids belong in the Hall.
I agree.
Oh,
put a vial
agree.
Like this right in the Hall. Like this is the reason baseball survived, baby. Look at it.
Exactly. I agree with that. I've actually done a podcast where we talked about steroids in baseball, and I totally agree that it didn't hurt nothing. So, because it's not gonna let you see the curveball. It's not gonna let you hit a 95 mile an hour fastball. Just it's gonna let you recover faster. Yes, but
it's not gonna help the off season grade of the San Francisco Giants. I give them a C+.
Man loves his grades.
C+.
It's like a college professor out here.
Exactly. I like Jason. And, you know what? We're gonna have a hold on before you finish it. We're gonna start having. I think every week I'm gonna have to get you on for like 5 minutes to do a Jason Armstrong grade corner.
Hey,
what are we grading this one this week,
Professor Armstrong?
Yeah, and now Professor Armstrong with the weekly grades of the week.
They have a solid...
howdy, y'all. Howdy, y'all. Professor Armstrong here.
Oh my gosh,
it's Mister to you, buddy.
Doctor is better than Mister. Good Lord, man.
I'm going to get my PhD in this, okay? So you just buckle up, buddy. Oh, C+ for the San Francisco Giants. 81-81 record.
Okay. I like how you got us back on track, though. So I appreciate that.
Somebody has to.
Excuse yourself?
I mean.
Listen, I have to do this every week.
Oh, hey. Yeah. No thanks.
No thanks.
I have to do this every week.
But I told you at the very beginning, I was like, look, as soon as y'all start this, I know enough about Chad to know that he's kind of just all over the place. Like, oh, that's a cat. Oh, crap. What were we talking about? Oh, that's right. The cat distracted me.
I'm aware. I am aware.
So, Mr. Mike, what do you have the Giants going?
I have them at 84. I think they're just above that 500. They probably take those three extra wins from San Diego.
Okay.
That's where I'm looking. Like, because, again, like the second half, too, if they get Robbie Ray back, if they get Cobb back, that staff's a little stronger.
Yeah, I'm looking at Snell probably going to get about 15 wins. Webb probably 15. So I'm really thinking there's 30 wins right there. You get Ray and Wood back, you probably get another 15 wins, so that's 45. So I'm really at like a 79 win season for these guys.
So we're all within five.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, I'm really looking at 79 wins. So it's
this is awesome that all three of us are on the same page because we obviously have the next two. Okay, so yeah, I like it.
Jason's loving this one. I mean, it's not as tough as what the NL East is, though, because the NL East is everybody but one team. I mean,
well, it's amazingly out of it. I'm the one that had their most respect for Philly. I mean, that's the most screwed up thing about this whole thing.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Hey, I call it as I see it. I may hate their guts, but like I have said.
No, you don't.
No. I hate the fans. I hate the fans. Like if I can't say that publicly. Well, I can't say it on somebody else's. I can say it on my stuff, but I won't say it on Chad's. But yeah, I have a genuine dislike for the fans of Philly because, well, they're terrible people. That is the nicest way I can put this.
And I just have a terrible hatred for the city of Houston. So,
yeah, but mine's justified. I live 2.5 hours away.
I've never been to Houston, and I don't plan on going to Houston for anything either. So I'm good.
Oh, that's just disrespectful.
You know, but
I've never been west of the Mississippi. Okay.
Aren't you?
I don't care about them.
Oh, wait, I actually
went to Las Vegas. That's not necessarily true, but
God, you're telling stories like him now.
Oh my gosh, that's great. I used to say I never lost anything in St. Louis, so I don't have to ever go there. And then I had to go there for work. So, and then I had to work with Cardinals fans, and that wasn't fun. So the hatred of cities for me is definitely Houston, St. Louis.
I've been to St. Louis. I've been up in the Arch.
Oh, I have not. It's like a washing machine. Isn't it like going up in a washing machine?
Well, you go up and the elevator's fine. You get to the top, and I went with my grandmother, grandfather, and my aunt. Mm-hmm. And you can look out at the time. This is like 93, 94. Yeah. You look out of the window, and you're looking down.
Yeah.
In the bush. But you want to know the weirdest thing? When you get to the top, even on a calm day, the whole thing moves.
Yeah.
It is the craziest thing. Like, you're up, and my grandmother's looking, and she's like, are we moving? And we're like, yeah, because you're so high up in the nope, and walk right back to the elevator. It's like, take me down. Like, oh. I'm leaning over the window, looking out the window. She's like, get your ass back here, boy.
Oh man, that's great. Yep. So there's the two most hated cities I have right there.
Jason?
We're sharing. I don't hate a city. Maybe Oxford, Mississippi.
Oxford, Mississippi. There we go. That's why. Mississippi.
Yeah, it just so happens. So I'm in the middle of a small minor reset at the store. And I didn't know that the boss man of the reset crew. He comes in, real country good. I mean, he's a good dude. He comes in, he goes, I didn't know you was a Mississippi State fan because I got my cowbell on my desk, right?
Uh-huh.
He goes, look who I'm a fan of. And he pulls his belt buckle up and says Ole Miss on it. And he goes, but I don't hate people from Starkville. I was like, well, I hate people from Oxford, buddy.
See, now you understand. This is how I feel about people from Philly.
And he goes, do you really? I was like, yes, I do. He goes, well, do you hate me? I was like, no, you're good.
There's exceptions to the rule,
yes,
right?
Yes, there are exceptions to the rule. However, if you're an Iowa State fan, there's not any exception to that rule.
I'm not going to fault the guy for being an Ole Miss
being
guy.
Born in the wrong, or being a fan of the wrong place.
Yeah, it's not his fault that he picked, that he was raised incorrectly.
That's how I feel about my niece. Like, she has an excuse. Not my fault. Her father's dumb.
You know what? I don't. Sorry. We can go on days for how many fans I hate.
Yeah, you hate everybody except for Cub fans.
I hate some of them too.
Yeah, that's fair. can we move on here now?
Yeah,
now
that we've Arizona Diamondbacks, baby.
Of Chicago.
What's
how
that?
Far are you from Chicago?
Me? 8 hours.
Damn. I'm gonna be in Chicago August 7th through the 11th.
Oh, it's the 11th is the daughter's birthday. But yeah, I'm 8 hours from Chicago.
I thought you were closer.
No, I wish Gersey's closer. He's like 5 hours away.
Man, neither one. I'm going to probably go see Joe, I guess.
Yeah, Joe's in Chicago.
You guess. Yeah. You know what? I guess Joe's the choice. Nothing like a third prize there, baby. Like what?
Joe, that's if you're listening to this, look, he's putting words in my mouth, big dog. Okay.
I'm just saying. He said Chad, and then
he's making
he's
it like, sound
Gersey's
a lot worse
like,
than whatever.
And you're like, oh, well, I guess I'll go see Joe then. All right.
Which, by the way, Joe, if you're listening, I'm gonna be in Chicago that second weekend of August. Okay, baby. I'm coming to see you.
You know, the worst thing is I heard I'm getting company for my birthday this year.
Yeah.
Somebody's dropping by for my birthday.
Yeah.
Because they're gonna be in Cooperstown.
Yeah. Yep, because we're going back because Joe Mauer is getting inducted to the Hall of Fame.
Oh, I like Joe Mauer.
Not my choice. I mean, I don't hate the guy. Okay, but it wasn't not my
well
choice.
Played, Mauer. Anybody remembers those MLB The Show commercials, baby?
Yep. Oh man. Yeah. We're going to be in Cooperstown for the Mauer Helton Beltre. Hall of Fame induction ceremony. So, staying in Utica this time instead of Sydney.
Utica's anyway. All right. Utica's a nice town.
Yeah, we're staying at Red Roof Inn, so we'll see how that turns out.
All right. Well, body's on the floor. Got it.
Yeah, exactly. Stop. You know, I might just take a picture of myself by the Syracuse sound and the Syracuse sign and send it to Sal. He hates Syracuse.
I know. Back to number two.
Arizona Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
Just, you know, signed Jordan Montgomery to a 1-year deal, it seems like, for $25 million. Does have a player option, whatever that amounts to.
Oh, hold on. Let's just say thanks, Scott Boras.
Yeah.
Thanks for messing up another one, baby.
Yeah, no kidding. Last of the free agent dominoes to sign. I was really thinking it was going to be J.D. Martinez, but he got picked up.
Gotta love the Mets stepping in there for that one.
Yeah, of course. And Martinez is like, I just want to make the playoffs.
Well, no, he's not going to because he's going to end up playing first when they trade Pete.
To Cleveland. Anyways.
Oh, he got inside info. I don't got that info yet.
That must be that Red Roof Inn info.
Yeah, you're right. He's getting that Red Roof information, baby.
Exactly. Cleveland's
going to. Is that Red Roof Inn? Hour?
No. I've seen the pay by the hour places.
I was just wondering.
Never stayed at one. Never stayed at one, but I've seen them.
Hey, Chad, it's only like.
Why were you late today for the Hall of Fame ceremony? My alarm didn't go off.
Probably about right.
Yeah, just remember, we do things on Chad time.
Yeah.
Just remember that. I become very accustomed to Chad time. Because
CST.
Just remember,
CST just, does not mean Central Standard Time. It means
Chad Standard Time. Let me tell you something. Hey. I swear to God, Mike, 8:30, I'm there for you, baby. I'm there. 8:30 Central. I'm there. 8:30, 9:30 Eastern, folks. I'm messaging a friend. I'm like, where the hell is he? Oh my God. And then it just gets progressively angrier in the preceding next 20 minutes when he shows up 10 minutes beforehand. And I'm like, hey, what a shock. I swear to God, I'll be there on time.
I tell my boss at the golf store, I'll be there on time all the time too. And I walk in 10 minutes late.
Yeah, son, I hate your guy at the golf store either.
Oh my gosh. All right. Diamondbacks. Just got Jordan Montgomery. Yep. They got Zach Gallen. They got Merrill Kelly, Eduardo Rodriguez, Brian Pfaft as well.
That's a great last name.
I know it is. And then they got Ryan Nelson. I love that name. Paul Sewald. Kevin Ginkle, Miguel Castro, Joe Matt.
Sewald's closing it out, right?
Oh, yeah. Sewald's the closer. Definitely. Okay. Yeah. So I'll just name it off their stars in this wonderful pitching staff they have. And also, hey, fun little fun fact, since I know we talked about it before here, but I'm going to bring it up on podcast as well. In 2023, according to Just Baseball on Twitter, X, I guess. I don't know. It's still Twitter to me. Even when you hit a link, it says twitter.com. So that's funny. Just 13 pitchers threw at least 175 innings with a 3.50 ERA or better. And now the Diamondbacks have three of those players. So did their pitching staff get better with Jordan Montgomery? That is the question.
Yes. Absolutely it did. I mean, that was a bad question. Like, look, sorry, sir, but
I understand the whole there is no stupid questions.
But there's three comments and like
that was a rough one, okay?
I mean, it's Gallen to Montgomery to Kelly to Paffitt to whomever the hell you want at five.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they're talked about pitching staffs.
A talented pitching staff.
Yeah. And I mean, Sewald at the back end, Castro there for an seven or eight inning. Like that staff. And here's the thing. Gallen can get you seven. Montgomery can get you seven. Kelly can get you six or seven. Paffitt, the same thing. Like, they not only are the innings eaters, but they're ERA and, you know, low contact guys. Like, they're not giving up a ton.
Yeah.
So it's not like when we talk about the Padres or the Giants, can the offense help out? You know, if they give up three runs or four runs, can they help them out? Like, we know, like, the bulk of the Diamondbacks starters, they're going to keep you two to three runs at worst.
Yeah.
And then you just need to produce from there. And
they had their lineup to produce.
I think missing Teoscar Hernandez from last year is a slight thing for them, but they did get Gurriel Jr., who's nice
and younger.
Yeah, and younger. I don't disagree, but I think Teoscar had the better bat. I think Gurriel's good. I think Teoscar's a better hitter.
I mean, if you want to ask a question about this team, the question should be, will we see the future Hall of Fame center fielder, Drew Jones? Will we see him?
No. Not yet. I think he's a year out. Because I think they're willing to give Alec Thomas the time in center this year, just to see. Like, if they start competing, here's the thing. You see him in September.
Yeah.
You see him in September.
I think it comes down to the whole Uriel Jr. aspect of this, okay? And I feel like that's where we see the possibility of him being called up. Will he be able to play to the level that they're going to need him to play at? We don't
know. Again, I think he's young in that role. I think he's not that they don't have young talent. I'm not saying that. Obviously, they got Corbin Carroll out there. Not that Marte is young anymore by any stretch. Like, he's 30 now. Like, what are you going to do there?
So look at the outfield. If Drew Jones, Alec Thomas, Corbin Carroll.
Yeah, that's just, you know, and it's Arizona. So, like, if you could sign them. See, here's the thing. Right now, the Diamondbacks should be thinking, we need to do what the Braves did. We need to sign these guys.
It's a long-term deal. Because here's the
thing.
Right now.
Like, here's the thing. People bitch about the Braves with Ronnie and what they did. Ronnie's still going to be up for a contract when he's 29 years old. How many teams, and, you know, not picking on Chad, but, like, you talk about the Chris Bryant thing. They manipulated the time. That he kept having to go through arbitration. The Braves gave him a contract that he was willing to agree to. Who knew he was going to go 40 and 70? Honestly, nobody was thinking that.
Yeah.
So you sign these guys to long-term deals, let them hit free agency when they're 30. Maybe you get some goodwill with them and they want to stick around.
Yeah.
I mean, no, because they're going to build the culture.
Yeah. I mean, and you want to bring up manipulating the system, Jackson Holliday, Orioles.
Yeah.
I mean, the Diamondbacks didn't do that with Corbin Carroll.
No, absolutely right. Not.
So
that's right. And they're going to be rewarded handsomely. They are. If this team, I think all three of us could sit here and agree that this team played out of their minds last year.
Yes.
Down
they
the stretch,
played
yes.
a solid, they're a year ahead of where they should be. Technically, this should be their last year.
Yeah.
If they can get close to doing what they did, and I think the Jordan Montgomery signing 30, almost 40 minutes ago now, it gets them there. I actually, I'm gonna jump ahead just a little bit. Okay. I had them at 92 and 70, but that was before the Montgomery signing. I had the Dodgers two games ahead of them. I now think it's a dead heat, in all honesty. If this team plays like they did last year, it's a dead heat.
Okay. I can live with that. I mean, but you also had the Eugenio Suarez coming over as well. So, I mean, they did bolster their team.
You're missing the big one. Jock Peterson.
Oh, that's huge. That's their
No. Like, not only that, but we can speak to this. I really feel this. Like, you and I can speak to this. What did he do for the Braves in 21? Like, we are those, mothers. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, like, we can be. That dude has a winning leadership attitude. Mentality that kids like Carroll, Thomas, like he said, Drew Jones, even Gurriel, Marte, who's 30, and I mean, he's getting a little longer in the tooth, but even he can be like, yeah, we got a winner. This guy's won wherever he's gone. You know, like he's really picked it up.
Yeah.
That's infectious. And then you bring in, like we said, a Montgomery to a staff where Gallen was already a Cy Young candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that team's ready to compete. I don't agree that they're in a dead heat with the Dodgers, but I think they're close. I don't know if it's like, I still think it's probably a 4 or 5 games, but they're going to win.
I can see. Well, I'm just looking at their first half of their schedule, and it's very, very favorable for them to get out to a hot start. I mean, they don't face really any real. I mean, they play the Rockies at first, and then they got the Yankees coming to town. Then they go to the Braves, but then they play Colorado, St. Louis, and they'll get swept by the Cubs. And then they got San Francisco, St. Louis again. So it's not like, so they got three hard series out of the first month. So they're going to get off to a hot start. And I think that always, I think sometimes, unless you're the Rays, hot start always propels you for the rest of the year.
The Mets.
or the Mets. But
remember, that division was wrapped up in 22.
Yeah.
In June. Just remember that. Ask the commentator for the Mets. He'll tell you May 31st, it was wrapped, baby.
And then, but then the second half of the season is even better. Like they legit don't play LA after September 2nd.
So you can go on a late run.
Right, exactly. And you face San Francisco, Houston, Texas, Milwaukee, Colorado, Milwaukee, San Francisco, and San Diego.
So I was just going to say,
series.
I think the Dodgers and Diamondbacks have a real good chance to split their series.
Yeah.
It's going to come down to which one of those two teams beats up on the Giants and Colorado Rockies the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's what it's going to be about. And I think with Montgomery, that puts them right at 95 wins.
I was going to say 90, 95, 96 wins somewhere in there.
Yeah. So speaking of wins, listen. Solid B on the offseason moves this year.
Montgomery didn't get him to a B+.
I had him a C+. Montgomery got him to a B.
Ooh. I don't know, man. Gurriel, Jock. Those are some good pickups when you
Suarez,
don't need to.
Like, I mean,
Suarez.
It was the staff. They needed that glue in the staff. B plus, somewhere around there. Yeah, B plus.
Sound,
92 and 70 is where they're going to finish. And they're going to be right there. You know, it that could fluctuate. It could, you know, 95 maybe. So, yeah.
We're in the same ballpark, like always.
Yeah, we're in the same park. Unfortunately, we're in a closer ballpark than Brian Cashman ever was when he said Jordan Montgomery's not a playoff pitcher.
Yeah, right? Like, God bless. Some people just like to talk out of their ass.
Well, you know one of them.
I know a few of them, actually.
All right, let's move on to the We're Billionaires, the Los Angeles Dodgers.
All right.
Let's see. Yamamoto, blown up. Walker Buehler, hurt. Glasnow, Buehler. Miller, James Paxton, Buehler. Clayton Kershaw, Dustin May. I mean, I just see a list of
hurt guys,
players. On
That's
here.
All I'm seeing, right?
Buehler. So, where's this team?
God
gonna...
damn, you keep going with Buehler, don't you? Good Lord, man. All I keep hearing this... Buehler. Buehler.
Buehler.
Where does this team. How does this team win games without pitching staff?
They don't.
They will. They will. Bobby Miller will show up. I believe Bobby Miller will show up.
He only shows up in events, okay?
Yeah. Hey, and let me tell you something. Some of us really know how to abuse that to the Randy Johnson, baby.
Absolutely.
You know. Chad has no idea what we're talking about, but
no, I'm never.
We ready. Know, baby. The real mean, ones know. No, Glasnow's going to show up. I think. Yes, I know he's been hurt a lot. I have to go with what's on paper, and when he's pitched, he's looked good. So him and Bobby Miller, Yamamoto, who knows? He's got to learn how to pitch in major league talent. Let's just start there. I don't know when Walker Buehler comes back, and when he does come back, I don't know where he's at.
Right.
Because he's coming off TJ, right?
Yep.
And that first
this is
year
his second one, though, right?
Yeah, but even coming at back off TJ that first year, you're still gun shy. You're not yourself.
No, I agree.
So I mean, they're the Dodgers, though. That's the thing. They'll figure it out. They'll buy somebody. They'll do something. They'll figure out a pitcher if they have to mold him out of clay.
Yeah,
like that'll happen. Like. Arizona having the pitching staff is great, but I don't see that pitching staff getting around the lineup of LA, no matter how good they are.
Yeah.
Because they got lefty, righty, lefty, you know, they got pop all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. My opinion, James Outman played really well early in the year last year.
Yeah.
I think he may take a little step forward. That'd be good. Teoscar Hernandez is a good outfielder. Good hitter. We just talked about when leaving Arizona, going here.
Mm-hmm.
Hayward's the problem. Like, yes, defensively, he's great. He's outstanding in the outfield, but he's, what did we say, 34?
34.
He's 34. He's 34 years old. His bat's no longer there. The defense is nice. But, like, and it's what when we did the NL East, it's what I said about the Dodgers and the Braves. 1 through 9, Atlanta's the best hitting team. I think here, Betts, Ohtani, Freeman, Smith, Muncy, Hernandez, I think they're going to slug enough in the West that they're going to be okay to take that and take that pretty handily. Because they'll figure out the staff.
Yeah. Is this team a 101 team, though?
No.
It's close. It's 97, 98, somewhere in there.
Because right now they're throwing out Kyle Hurt, Bobby Miller, James Paxton, Gavin Stone, and Yamamoto.
Yamamoto won't even be...
And you got Yarbrough.
He'll be an afterthought very quick. I think
you got Ryan Yarbrough of Tampa Bay fame as well.
96 and 66. That's where they're going to finish.
I'm not going to, like I said, 96, 97, 98 wins somewhere in there. I'm with him.
Well, All right, well, I'm going to play devil's advocate on this one because as much as the we have talked about the AL or the NL West not having very good pitching, I mean, except for the Diamondbacks, Dodgers don't have very good pitching right now. They got the best staff in the world, but they're all in IL. Also, Mookie Betts playing shortstop, position he's never played before. As a player, usually you have one of two things is going to suffer: your defense or your offense is going to suffer on trying to learn a new position. That's always been the factors. There's not been a single player that's ever changed positions and then has still been able to produce on the offensive side while still trying to learn the defensive side. You got Jason Hayward out on the right, which is good defender, but at the same time, he's not going to provide any much help in the lineup. Hernandez, good pickup. Otani on DH as Otani at DH. Like, the guy's just going to hit for a clip, right? The guy's one of the top.
Unless he has money on the game, he might go over 4.
Oh. That's stiff.
Allegedly.
That's a stiff shot. Good Lord.
I'm not muted. Crap.
Oops.
Freddie Freeman, he's 34 years old. Max Muncy's 33. We talked about their age. Like, these guys only got a couple years left in them.
These guys are the Philadelphia Phillies of the NL West.
Yeah, but the difference
and the window's
is,
closing.
It but is. The difference is the Philadelphia Phillies have young guys to mix in with the old guys. This is just all a bunch of old guys, except for James Outman.
Yeah, he's not wrong. I mean, Stott, you know, Baum, you got young guys on Philly, but like those guys are developing still too. Like, LA is the modern day Yankees. Like, they just are. They go out, they want to get the best talent that's available at that moment, regardless of their age. Or look at the Mets last year, okay? They go out, they spend on Verlander, they go and spend on Scherzer, and they're both gone by mid, like at the break or by the deadline because age caught up to them, or at least it caught up to them in New York. There is so much pressure on LA this year with Otani signing, Freddie's the last couple years, and all that, when now you throw this whole interpreter situation, because LA is basically the New York of the West. Like, I know people from LA will hate to hear that. I get it.
Yeah.
But like, you're the New York of the West. Like, you're the biggest market and you got the most vicious media on the West Coast. Yep. And now you got this on top of it with, like you guys said, a weak pitching staff. Mm-hmm. I still think they get it done, but I think that their window, despite signing Otani, they have this year and next year.
Yeah. And let's also not forget about that Julio Urias isn't on the team right now either.
Yeah.
And he was kind of one of those guys that you could look to get some. I mean, he's on the roster according to ESPN, but he's out, you know. And
breaking news, boys. Professor Armstrong is changing his standings. As at this moment, the Arizona Diamondbacks will win the 2024 NL West. You heard it here first.
I'm right there with you, though. I think the Diamondbacks win the West. We may have saved the Dodgers for last, but I think I still think the Dodgers make the playoffs, but the Diamondbacks win the West and possibly be the best team in baseball.
No.
I said possibly.
No, not Chad, possibly either.
You just lost all credibility with that, right? Man. I'm so heartbroken.
Like, here's the thing. I get it. Like, Jason and I are both Braves fans. And I dare say at times we are homers. I'm not going to disagree with that. Yeah. However, I'm usually very objective about these things, all right? And I do feel the Braves are the best team without question in baseball. And the Diamondbacks are great. Like,
right,
that pitching staff's really good. But the Braves, they always I did not hear you say that you would put the Diamondbacks at 100 wins.
No, and I have the Braves at 100 wins. But
I have the Braves at 100 wins.
I think the Diamondbacks win 97. But let me clarify this, okay? I think the Braves are the best team in baseball, put top to bottom, okay? But if you're going to get the one seed in the playoffs, I think the Diamondbacks can sneak in to get that one seed because they play a weaker division than what the Braves do.
That's a lie. That's a lie.
The Nats and the Rockies
are the same.
No, the West is weaker than the East.
Yeah,
they have the Mets and they have the Marlins.
Yeah,
but the Marlins are better than the Giants and the Padres.
I agree.
I don't know if I agree with that.
If you go not without Alcantara
this year, I don't.
If you compare top to bottom, Rockies, Nationals.
Nationals by far. I'm taking Dave Martinez of the Nationals all day, every day.
You got Padres.
54 wins and Mets. Like
60, but still.
Look, let's just do Padres, Mets. It's a
Mets
push.
Are worse. No, it's a the push. Mets are worse. Look at the Mets pitching staff, for God's sake.
It's a push.
But then you look at the Padres, hitters. Like,
yeah.
I would much rather ride with Machado and Tatis any day of the week.
Then Alonso and Batty.
Alonso batting 238. Alonso's not going to be there the whole damn year.
Well,
Alonso's
not
out the door.
But I'm saying right now.
I'm still going to take the Padres in that one.
Falling.
Okay.
Happy Gilmore could hit the ball 450 yards, but couldn't put
it. Happy Gilmore's not a real person.
But he couldn't put
like
it into the hole.
I'm just letting you know that. I'm just telling you. He's not a real person, Jason. Despite what you...
Okay.
No. Adam Sandler's a real person. Adam Sandler's a real person making a very bad mistake making a sequel to that movie.
All right.
However, go ahead.
All right. So you're saying you're taking Padres over Mets.
Okay? I'm taking the Padres over the Mets.
I'll say Mets over Padres.
Okay. That's fine. But you have the Nationals over the Rockies.
Yeah.
Padres over Mets. So it's basically 1-1, right?
Yeah.
So now you got the Marlins, Giants.
Marlins.
I want to see the Marlins lineup. Hold on.
Exactly.
Hold on. Give me a second.
Oh, you want to see the Marlins lineup?
Yeah, looking. I have it here. I am looking at the lineup.
Well, Tim Anderson's going to get 300 today, this year.
De La Cruz is going to be a 30 home run guy.
In that ballpark?
Oh, dude.
I know he's got pop.
I like him.
Jazz underperforms. Like, Jazz isn't that guy.
Yeah, but he's not on the cover this year of MLB The Show.
Yeah, I don't give a damn what
he's
not
gonna
on.
Have a better year this year.
No cover.
Arias is just slapping balls like all over the place.
Josh Bell,
hit or miss.
Jake Fatburgers.
If he makes contact with the ball, very good. If he doesn't, then very not.
The only person that the Marlins are missing is Dan Vogelbach.
Yeah, right. Danny Burgess. Why isn't Danny Burgess on the team? Lizardo, Puck, Weathers, Rogers, Max Mayer.
Dude, 100% better than the Giants.
Not pitching wise.
You know what? Hold on. You want to hear something real?
Hold on. Not pitching wise. Because here's the thing. You got Snell. You got
Webb.
You're having Robbie Ray come back. You have Robbie Ray coming back, and you have Alex Wood coming back.
Yeah, but you're hoping that they come back at full strength.
So what? I'll take 50% of Robbie Ray over Ryan Weathers.
True.
If you ask me honestly, with the Giants' improvements with Soler and Conforto and those guys, I actually put this in a push.
Okay.
Because of the pitching staff.
I can live with the push.
Because of the pitching staff.
Before we leave the Marlins, I got one hot take that wasn't even my hot take.
Okay.
A guy I work with said that Puck could be a Cy Young Award winner.
God, you keep saying Spencer Strider wrong. I don't know. Like, at one time it sounds like AJ Puck. Another time it sounds like Justin Steele.
I didn't say that. And then it was a set of work on Monday. And I looked at the guy like, what?
Jason, like, could you explain to him how to say Spencer Strider?
I know how to say Spencer Strider because I also took him number one in fantasy baseball.
No, number two. And let me tell you something. You shouldn't have shown up. If the timer had been on, Strider would have been mine and you would have been out in the cold. You shouldn't have gotten the extra time. That's bull. And let me tell you something. I yelled at Longhorn about it too.
But we would have missed out on you saying, oh, just take all the Braves, you Cub-loving son of a...
Because here's the thing. He talks up the Cubs, but he knows who the best is. That's the thing. You didn't see it. Hey, all I'm going to say is this. You didn't see him go out there and take every diamond back, did you? No, sirree.
Nope.
He's the only podcast sports host that I've ever heard of go, I think I'm going to project my team to win 74 games, but yet they managed to sweep every single team.
Right?
Discuss.
Yeah, how does that work exactly?
I said I see him going from 74 to 87 wins and still winning the Central. Even at 74 wins, they're going to win the Central.
What? I'm going to act like you just didn't say that.
Right.
Professional. Mm-hmm. You get paid to do this. I don't.
I really don't get to pay to do this. I pay to do it.
Oh. Well, that's a sore. Let's move on. Ladies, boys, let's talk about that for a minute.
I'm trying to figure out about his
teams in the 90s.
But what I'm saying is, all right, so Giants, Marlins push, right?
Yeah, Phillies, for me, that's a push.
Phillies, Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks.
Phillies. Already put the Diamondbacks winning the division.
Right. Okay.
So they're the Dodgers.
So Dodgers, Phillies.
A push.
Phillies.
I trust the top of their lineup. That's the weird thing. The pitching staff's better in Philly. I think the hitters are better in LA.
See, I would say the hitters are a push, and the pitching staff is better in Philly.
Definitely the pitching staff is better in Philly. I don't know about the lineup though. Schwarber, Turner, Harper, Baum,
Stott.
Miyamoto's taking a step back. Let's be honest. Stott, you know, Castellanos. Who knows?
Nicky Cass, baby. He's gonna hit 285. With 77 doubles.
And then you got Mark and Rojas. He doesn't know.
You forgot about Harper.
I said Harper right at the top.
Okay, no. I didn't hear you.
Oh, you didn't?
Third.
No, what happened is he heard 77 doubles and it immediately fried his brain. That'd be some kind of record.
You're not hitting 77 doubles in Philly.
Some kind of record.
Well, here's the thing. 77 doubles are like 23 more home runs. Because the ball carries in Philly.
Yeah. So,
but at the back end, you have Marsh, Rojas, Stott, and Baum. They're younger. If you look at the big hitters, Schwarber, Turner, Harper, I guess Realmuto, and Castellanos, if I'm going five against five, like as far as the big hitters go, I'm taking LA. And you got Teoscar Hernandez, who I think is a better hitter than any of them. The only weak spot there, and I like Max Muncy too. More than Marsh or Rojas for sure. It's Jason Hayward that's the odd man out in LA.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's a given.
I like the Dodgers hitters more. I love Philly's pitching staff.
I just see the Phillies just being better than the Dodgers.
They definitely could be. But it's weird because the Dodgers find a way to win.
Right. That's what I'm saying is Dave Roberts finds a way to win.
He finds a way to win in the regular season, and then he Dave Roberts in the playoffs.
Correct. Because the only time the Dodgers have won a World Series in the last 30 years has been on shortened seasons.
Yeah.
40 years. Last 40 years. 43 years.
No, that's not true. 88.
Okay. One World Series in there, not a strike shortened season. Yeah. Or a shortened season altogether. So two of their three World Series have been on shortened seasons. You put they've
won more than three World Series, just so you know.
Overall, yes.
Yeah, I'm just saying, because the way that came out of your mouth was like, out of their three World Series, like, well, yeah, you got it.
Three World Series in the
last
43 years.
Sandy with the left arm of God?
Yeah, for 6 years. The first 6 years, it was the left arm of what? Let's ask that question.
Doesn't matter.
We can get really into a hot topic of hot take on that. Is Sandy Koufax always on the list of the best left-handed pitchers of all time? I got time. He's not. He had six good seasons.
Well,
I mean, he had six more good seasons than I did in Major League Baseball.
And did your elbow ever turn black?
When I broke it one time, yes.
Okay. But was it from throwing a curveball repeatedly?
No, that was from falling 10 feet out of a tree.
Please tell me you were a child.
I was 13.
No, that was last week.
I was wondering what was wrong with your arm.
I was 13, broke both arms falling 10 feet out of a tree.
Wait a minute. Whoa, nope. That's going to be an after podcast question. That is going to be. We're not going anywhere after he stopped recording.
My aunt and grandma took care of the wipeage of the arse.
That's not what the question was going to be. Okay. Don't you worry about that, son.
All right.
That wasn't going to be the question. But thank you for that information.
Thanks for the info.
I had a cast on the right.
Mama Kane, thank you so much for taking care of our baby boy. Yeah.
I was like Henry Groengartner with a cast on the right arm.
Oh, yeah. Did you end up being able to throw like 97?
No, because it didn't go all the way up to the elbow, or it didn't go all the way up to the. It didn't go all the way to the shoulder. It only went up like to halfway.
Right. Yeah, I got you.
And then the other side, he's like,
because that would have been perfect as a Cub fan.
Yeah.
Like, were you envisioning that?
I was actually. I would even do it like snap. I'd like snap it like you did.
Chad was like funky butt loving.
Right? Did he just say funky butt loving?
So yeah, the doctor said you probably should have put my left arm in a cast as well, but he said I don't want you to have two casts at the same time, so you'll have to wear the splint for 6 weeks. Because and I also almost came up with so it was right near the growth plate is where I broke the elbow and the wrist and on my right arm.
The whole
the
arm.
Wrist.
You just destroyed your arm.
Yeah, so like I almost broke on the growth plate, which means my wrist wouldn't have. I would have stopped growing, obviously, on both. And I would have had a short arm on one side and a short wrist on the other. I've been walking around like a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Let me tell you something. We would not have been doing a podcast, that's for sure.
I'd love to hire you to front my shelves, though.
I just scoop everything in.
Just
feed me.
I can only reach three deep, though.
Oh. Remember, boys, we're doing a podcast here.
Excuse me, I'm sir. Aware. Could you reach out the top shelf? Let me get my extender.
I'm going to hook out. Start pulling at it. Oh,
sir, not the glass jaw.
Hey, could you turn the fan on?
Mr. Armstrong, he broke another glass.
Clean up on how
to. Well, let me tell you something. Well, howdy, y'all. The professor's here to help you clean up this mess.
Yeah, we're doing a podcast that's getting recorded. Yes. So
give me a hug.
Give me a hug.
Just kind of hug your neck.
Oh. You know, all I'm envisioning right now is what I'm going to have to deal with in less than 12 hours.
Well, I mean, you know Chad's got to have at least a solid 9.5 hours of sleep or he's not going to function.
You know what? That might not be the worst thing. All I have to do is talk. Okay, thank you. Yeah. We're moving on. It's like putting my hand up and just wah, 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 wah. Good, we're going on.
Oh, man. All right, so Diamondbacks. I got him finishing second place, 97 wins, maybe.
So you got to tell me, are you taking the Dodgers to win it, or is it the Diamondbacks?
Oh, I mean Dodgers. I got the Dodgers. Hold on, wait.
Wow, he's messed up himself the whole time here. Because he taught. Here's the thing. If you go back and just rewind this podcast before all this crazy crap just happened, you will hear him flip-flop to say, I'm taking the Diamondback. No, I've got the Dodge. I have the the Diamondbacks, and now they added Montgomery. And, you know, I really like their lineup. That's what you're going to hear on this podcast if you rewind it just a little bit. So now I'm putting you on the spot. What do you got?
Dodgers second place, Diamondbacks first place.
There all right. So you're taking the Diamondbacks to win the West.
Yes.
Okay. Jason, what do you got?
I look.
He broke news 15 minutes ago.
Yeah, 15 minutes ago. Breaking news. Jordan Montgomery has been signed by the Arizona Diamondbacks. They are now the first place winners of the NOS for 2024.
All right. How many wins do you give the Dodgers? Because apparently I had to take over like I do on mine. How many wins do you have the Dodgers at?
95.
97.
All right. So you're going to say that the Diamondbacks are closer to a 100-win team.
Yeah, I do now.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to actually go. I'm sticking in the middle there. Dodgers are going to win 96. For me, they're going to eke out the West. It's going to be a one or two game. And now I could be wrong. That could flip-flop. But it is going to be close. I'm going to take the Dodgers with experience to take it from the Diamondbacks at like 95, 94 wins.
Okay.
But I think it's close.
All right. So to full circle it, I know we got off track a lot. Full circle this bad boy.
We had to bring it tonight because you said.
Yeah, you're the one that told us we weren't funny.
Central NL West. Was funnier
and then Andy alone was funnier because they talked about movies.
So I had to put Happy Gilmore in, and that
you
was
guys
funny.
Brought it. Hey, all I gotta say is at the start of this podcast, Andy was one. Now Andy has been bumped to three because you guys have brought it both times. All right, you guys
I think he's lying to us too. I think he's just trying to get out of here.
You guys brought it. You guys really did bring it tonight. Like, you guys brought it the first time. It was a lot, and then you guys brought it again. We should just turn this into three guys and a mic.
Wait, you want me to add another podcast to what I'm doing now?
We can turn this into three guys and a mic.
So wait, you want me to do a second podcast stream five days a week on top of that?
Yeah, well, so I could handle the back stuff on this one. You do the 80s boy stuff.
And then Chad just show up.
He's the talent, apparently.
Yeah. Well, he definitely thinks he is 100%.
Hey, you know what? I said tonight as I was leaving the in-laws house, everything I touch turns to gold, baby. That's all I'm saying.
Oh Lord,
I'm just making sure that the floor isn't melting in front of me.
Oh shit,
I'm a superstar, boys. People just don't realize it sometimes.
Is that why you're sniffing your armpits earlier?
Yes,
superstar.
Whoo. This I'm actually gonna put this one up on YouTube.
I'm gonna put this one,
this video, and I'm putting the NL Central video up on YouTube because Doc wants to see Gersey's face when Widow said something to him.
I want them uploaded immediately then.
Yes, they're both gonna get uploaded tonight.
All right, that's fair.
So
now are they gonna be uploaded in time for you to actually wake up on time to show up for our podcast tomorrow?
No, yeah, because at 8:55 tomorrow morning, he's going to be like, hey, I just got the stuff posted. I haven't slept all night.
No. Here's the thing. I'm going to tell all right, a little bus behind the scenes of our other podcast.
Just give me some C4, baby. I'm high.
No, I'm going to give you a little behind the scenes. I have to set up the video for the stream, right? Every time Chad calls me, his video doesn't show up. This is like the third week. And every time his video doesn't show up, but he always calls me. He can't message me and say, I'm on, video me. Okay, that would make life easy, right? That would make old Mike's life a little bit easier. No, no. I get a call. Hey, I'm up, baby. Oh, my video isn't showing. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. All right, Chad, I'll call you like I do every time, and we'll do this. And I do it. I call him. He's like, oh, thank God it worked. That has happened every week. Am I lying to you?
No.
Am I lying? Nope.
No.
That's all I'm saying.
But every week, I should have been like, I even said this week, I'm like, oh, wait. Yeah, you have to call me. That's right.
Yeah, that's like earlier today. I accidentally called Chad. So I was looking to call another Chad.
You need to know less Chad. There's only one Chad you need to know, baby.
That's what I said.
Well, until I gave the reasoning.
Well, I didn't get the reasoning. So.
Oh my gosh. That's because he gets
that's a what?
Yeah, we'll talk about that after.
That's
the
an off.
Yeah, that's an off podcast.
All right, that's fine. That's fine.
So yeah.
But let's just say Chad Kane was extremely jealous of my reasoning.
Oh no.
Easy dog. So all right.
He may or may not have asked for that number.
Oh no, you're telling me this as soon as we're done. Let's go.
Yeah.
Wrap this up.
Yeah, we're gonna wrap it up. Thanks everybody for joining up to the One Guy with a Mic Dingers and Unks podcast on the NL West. Appreciate Mike and Jason coming on the show again and bringing it for the talking about the NL West and just bringing their A game. I think, you know what, Professor Kane here is going to give you guys his grade an A++ for tonight. So I appreciate each and every one of those. Also, as always, boys and girls, remember to take care of yourselves and each other.
Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, aka the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
The Pigskin Tales podcast is all about the lesser known pro football players. Yes, there are stories about the ones we know, like Brad Tarkenton and Harold Red Grange. But have you ever heard of Ernie Nevers? How about Dave Osborne or even Grady Alderman? These men created their own path to the NFL. How did they do it? Listen to the Pigskin Tales podcast, now streaming on your favorite music platform. Go to pigskintales.com.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.